Job chapter number 2, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Chapter number 2. Whew. Not every day I crack myself up, but that one got me. All right. How many of you love your Bible? Say amen. Amen. Chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says in Job, "Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity? Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth now thine hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal." Here is where I'm going to draw a text from this morning, this phrase. "And he sat down among the ashes." I want you to underline that phrase because I draw my message out of that phrase. My message this morning is with this thought, the ashes of remembrance. My Father and my God, I come in the holy and the matchless name of the Lord Jesus. I bow down my knees to you this morning, my Father, because I know that without you I can do nothing. God, I know that without your power we meet together in vanity. God, I know that without your Spirit moving that I am just speaking vain words. But oh God, this morning I know that I read from a living book. I read this morning from a book that while I read it, the author stands by mine ear. This morning, God, as I preach, the Holy Ghost of God, He is our teacher. And I pray that you will give to me power to preach. Lord, I pray that like a tsunami wave of influence, you will give to my words power. God, I pray today that you will change our hearts, that you will change our minds. I pray, God, that you will rearrange our way of thinking. I pray the Holy Ghost of God will move among us. Oh, God, we bless you today, and we thank you for all that you have done. God, surely we deserve to be in hell. Surely we deserve to have our names scratched out of the Lamb's Book of Life. But our God, we stand solid and firm on and through and in the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood and His sacrifice. And so, my Father, I am in your presence today. And I'm not in your presence today, God, based on my merit or my name or my ability. But God, I come before you and I plead the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. God, today I pray that you would bind every power. I pray, God, that you would bind every force. Satan, you have no power over this place. Satan and the demons of hell, you have no power. This place has been birthed. It has been bought and it has been blessed by the Lord Jesus. And it has been baptized in the blood of Christ. So, my Father, I pray that you would give the devil a black eye today. I pray, God, you would hurt his feelings and embarrass him in the spirit world as you encourage your people today, as you refresh your people today, and as your people once again have faith in their heart to believe. I pray today, oh my God, light a fire in us that the devil cannot quench. Light a fire in us, oh God, that the world cannot quench. Light a fire in us, oh God, that this old life cannot quench. I pray, God, that you will yield our souls and our bodies to you. Crucify our flesh today. Let us see with spirit eyes today. And God, today there are people in here and they see with fleshly eyes. I pray that like Elisha's servant that you would open up their eyes, Lamb of God, and let them see the host of heaven that have encircled this place. Let them see the angels of God that have come around this place, oh God, and that have given us the victory and have given us the greatness and have given to you now glory. God, if I don't have your power, if I don't have your unction, I have nothing. But oh God, if I have you, these people may not like it and this world may not like it, but God, if I've got you, I've got all that I need. God, I don't want their approval. I don't want them to think anything about me. I just want Jesus. Oh God, I just want Jesus to look at me and to smile, the sweet Holy Ghost of God. Oh God, give me power. Oh God, give me strength this morning. And I'll praise you, oh God. I'll thank you for all that you do. Give to me now power. Baptize me now in your spirit. And I'll give you glory and I'll give you honor. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray with thanksgiving. And all God's people said, amen. You be seated this morning. The book of Job, it is a wonderful book. It is a glorious book. It is a book that many broken people have gone to. How many of you in a low time of your life have gone to the book of Job to find answers to the questions of why do bad things happen to good people? Brothers and sisters, that is absolutely a question that is not wrong to ask. There is absolutely nothing wrong with asking the question, God, why has this happened to me? Oh God, why has this happened in my life? There is nothing wrong with asking that question, and do not let the demons and the devils of hell make you think that there is anything wrong with that question. Because Job asked it. Job had that same question. He said, God, why am I suffering? But honey, let me remind you today. Oh God, let me remind you today. Do not miss the big picture for the little picture. Honey, I just felt a band of angels come by my soul, and I'm telling you right now, the devil may fight us and the devil may fight you, but I believe there's a good God in this room today that's got all power, and if you'll yield to him, I'm telling you, you throw in with God, everything you need is found at his footsteps. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what you need to remember. If you don't remember anything else that I ever tell you, you remember this one thing. Everything in the Bible is talking about one person. Everything in the Old Testament is pointing to one person, and everything in the New Testament is pointing to that one person, and that one person is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. But may I remind you, sometimes it may be hard to see that. Sometimes it may not be easy to comprehend that everything in the Bible is about Jesus, because we look at this book of Job and we say, God, how can this book about suffering, how can this book about being denied and being thrown aside, how can it be about Jesus? How can it be about that? I got to looking at that, and I see Jesus when I see Job. You say, preacher, how do you see that? Well, think about Brother Job. Number one, Brother Job was forsaken, and he was abandoned by his family. Those people that loved him most, they forsook him. Those people that loved him most said, you need to curse God, and you need to die. That reminds me of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. Number two, do you realize that every friend that Job had, they abandoned Job. Every friend that Job had turned aside from Job. But Job had one friend that stayed with him to the end. He had one friend that did not turn his back on him at the end. You remember Jesus had how many disciples? He had 12 disciples. At the end of the crucifixion, there was only one disciple that was there, and it was John the Beloved that was with him at the cross. You realize that Job, it seemed like that he had been forsaken and abandoned by God. In the beginning, God was with him, but there through the most crucial time of his life, it seemed like God had forsaken him. But honey, at the end of the story, God, when the dust settled and the smoke cleared, God came back. You say, preacher, how was that like Jesus? Do you remember on the cross of Christ there for those hours when God turned his back and the sun went black and the skies went dark and the moon turned to blood and Jesus was abandoned by God? He cried out and said, why hast thou forsaken me, honey? You know why God was forsaken? He was forsaken so that you would not be forsaken. He was forsaken so that you would never be forsaken by the good God of eternity, honey. I'm telling you this morning, I saw this last thing. You realize when Job was reunited with God, at the end of Job chapter number 42, the Bible says that God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Do you realize on that third resurrection morning when Jesus Christ came out of the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, that what he became, he did not become Savior because he was already Savior. He didn't become Lord because he was already Lord. But there in that tomb and there in that grave, you know what he became? He became our advocate, and he became our intercessor, and he became our mediator between God and man. And when he came out on that third and glorious day, he came out, and now he's able to grab God in one hand and man in the other hand and bring the two together. Honey, he was reunited with God when he interceded. But I want you to get this last point of how Job is like Jesus. You say, preacher, what was Job's last story? Watch this. At the end of Job's life, Job was given a brand new family. You know what Jesus is getting right now? He's getting a brand new family, and it's not made up of Jewish believers, but it's made up of that wild olive branch that's being grafted in the Gentile church of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question? How many Jews do we have in here this morning? There may be one and there may be two. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not a Jew, what are you? You are a Gentile. How many Gentiles then do we have in the room this morning? That would make up every single one of us. And had God not allowed Jesus to come, and had God not allowed Jesus to suffer, and had God not allowed him to die on that cross and resurrect from that grave, you and I would not be grafted in. Dear God in heaven, it's all because he was grafted in, that you and I, it was all because he made us and accepted us into the beloved, that we have been saved. But honey, here we find Job, and the Bible says that his finances have been stolen, and his family has been slain, and his flesh has been smitten. And there's Job. He's got bulls all over him. He's got bulls up one side, down the other. I feel like God is 30 foot thick in my soul. If God was a thick butter, I couldn't cut him with a knife this morning. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is. I don't know how it is. Do you feel it too, son? I feel it so deep in my bones. My toenails are curling on the end of my toes. This is what I know. I know Job gets down to that place, and he's got bulls, and he goes down, and the Bible says in verse number 8 that he lays down by the ashes. By the ashes. Why did he lay down by the ashes? Some commentators have said that those ashes were the ruins of his family's house. But that can't be. Because every time in your Bible when broken buildings are described, they're described as ruins, not ashes. You say, preacher, what are ashes? You ready for this? Ashes are the leftovers from yesterday's fire. Do you know what fire was Job went to? In chapter 1, in verse number 4, the Bible says that Job offered up for his family burnt offerings. Do you know what those ashes were? And do you know why Job went back to them? Job went back to those ashes because that place is where he felt the fire of God. Those ashes right there were the last place he felt God. Those ashes right there were the last place that he knew that God was real. Those ashes were the last place that he said there is a God in heaven, and that God in heaven cares about me, and that God in heaven loves me. He said those ashes right there are where I felt God pray, or where I felt God move for my family. It's where I felt God touch my family. It's where I felt God anoint my family. And he said, I don't feel God right now. The devil's come against me, but I'm going to go back to the place where I felt God move. Honey, these past 12 weeks, many of you have watched online. Many of you have been there in person. But down off of exit number 140, we have seen God move in a great and a mighty way. Almost 1,300 people in 12 weeks were saved by the grace of God. In one service, over $340,000 was raised to buy CT a tent. The other morning, I was there praying. And as I was there praying, I knelt down in those cedar shavings, in those hardwood shavings. And as I knelt down, I looked and I grabbed a handful of ashes, a handful of shavings. And I said, God, what is it? God said, son, do you realize one day this tent will be gone, and the chairs will be gone, and the preacher will be gone, and the choir will be gone, and everything will be gone. Grass is going to grow up through these shavings, and it's going to cover those shavings, and we're not going to see those shavings anymore. He said, but son, do you realize that you're going to be able to look at those shavings, and you're going to be able to look and see that there is a God in heaven, and you're going to remember the God that moved back then is the same God that can move today. The same God that was alive back then is the same God that is alive today. The same God that got a hold hold of you back then is the same God that'll get a hold of you today. On Friday night, we were counting the offering, and some of the men that were on the finance committee with me, they brought this to me. There's only three other ones that had this, myself and three other pastors. They said, "Preacher, we want to give you this." Late one night, before the tent ended, there are three men that pray up under the stage every night. Daniel Buchanan, David Wood, and then William Goldsmith. All three are my friends. These men know God. They know how to get a hold of God. And they went up under there after one of the services. And down there where those sawdust would hold up those men's heads. Down there where those sawdust would pillow those men's heads as they prayed. They went down there and they scooped up a handful of these ashes. And they put them in this jar for me. And they said, "Preacher, we want you to take them. And we want you to put them on your desk. And we want you to be reminded every time that you look at that, that there is a God in heaven. And that God has all power. And that God has all strength, and what he has done in the past, he can do in the future." Ladies and gentlemen, we need revival in this day. It does not need to be a revival of anything, but of faith in the God of heaven. So many of us today, the reason we don't believe God, the reason we don't feel God, the reason we don't know God is because all night last night and all day yesterday and probably some this morning, we have filled our mind with the filth of this world. We have fed our flesh with the things of this world. We have YouTubed it to death. We have Facebooked it to death. We have TV'd it to death, and our flesh only sees the natural. We have fed our flesh and fed our mind. Our young people can't feel God because they're neck deep in the things of this world. Our churches have no power because they're neck deep in the things of this world. Some of you got the phone call from me the other day that we were going to take up this offering and we were going to give and we were going to pay this debt off. I believe there were probably some of you that began to hear the voice of the devil saying, "You can't do that. It's not possible. You've got bills. You've got to accomplish this." But some of you said, "You know what? I choose to believe God. I choose to march on with God. I choose to go." You say, "Preacher, what's going to happen?" I can promise you what's going to happen, honey. You're going to have more bills come your way this week than you have ever had in your life, because the devil didn't like what you did. The devil didn't like it. Some of you this week, you gave your paycheck. You gave more than your paycheck. Some of you just gave all that you had because you don't have a paycheck. You know what's going to happen this week? Your washing machine's going to break. Your refrigerator's going to go bad. Your dog's going to puke up worms. Your cat's going to die. Time. If your cat dies, let it stay dead. Don't waste money on burying it. Just throw it out in the street and let the state come pick it up. Say amen right there. But this is what I do know. You say, "Preacher, you shouldn't say that about cats." I didn't say it about cats. God said it about cats in the book of Enoch, chapter number 52. You'll find that there in the book of Enoch. Enoch is not in the Bible. It's not a book in the Bible. Which just goes to prove my point that you need to read it more than you're reading it, honey. I'll tell you the reason why we're so neck deep in this world is because it feels good to our flesh. But I promise you this, if you ever get hooked up to the God of heaven and you see what he can do, it's better than any drug. It's better than any high. When you see souls getting saved by the droves and people getting changed by the dozens and your life being re-altered and reworked by over and over, you're going to look back and you're going to say, "God, I want to go back to where I found it. I want to go back to where I saw it. I want to go back to where I saw it. I want to go back to where I got you last." Ladies and gentlemen, when I see this, honey, I say, "Oh God," I say, "Do it again, Lord. Don't stop now, Jesus." Though they may not be with you, I had a call this morning from a pastor, last night from a pastor friend. He said, "Preacher, I can't march on. I can't march on. I can't march on. The people won't go with me. The people won't listen. The people won't go." I said, "Brother, let me give you a piece of advice." I said, "You be like Joshua and you go to the Reds. You go to the Jordan River. And if Reuben and Gad want to stay on that side of the river, you go with the ones that want to go with you to the other side of the river. And don't let the dirty dozen keep you on this side of God's promise. But you keep on marching and let those people go." You say, "Preacher, what are we going to do?" I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to look back at what God has done and realize the same God that did do it is the same God that can do it. And the God that used to be is the God that still is. And the God that used to have power is a God that still has power. You say, "Preacher, you're crazy." You bet your bottom dollar I'm crazy. I've had it up to here with this world. I've had it up to here with their schemes. I've had it up to here with their philosophies. You say, "Preacher, you're nuts." You say it right. I am nuts, but honey, I'm screwed onto the right bolt. I tell you today, there is a God in heaven, and he doesn't have some power. He's got all power. He doesn't have a little bit of strength. He's got all the strength that ever has been. He's not a little good. He's all good. He's everything good. He's better than good. He's better than the best, higher than the highest.
life and holier than the holies. You say, preacher, what are we going to do? I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to grab a hold and go back to yesterday where we saw God, where we felt God, where we found God, and we're going to go back there and we're going to say, God, what you did yesterday, I want to see you do it today. And how you operated yesterday, I want to see you operate like that today. You say, preacher, this is not popular. People don't like this nowadays. No, I promise you they don't like it. But you know what? Goats have never liked a shepherd, but sheep like a shepherd. And goats want to be entertained, but sheep want to be fed. You say, preacher, I don't like it when people go get on an altar and they start praying and they interrupt the service, honey. I promise you more power will come out of that corner today than 5,000 churches in America. You know why? Because there's power in prayer, because the God of heaven gets behind prayer, and God will do what only God can do, honey. I'm tired of big this. I'm tired of big that. I'm tired of showtime. I want old time. I want God back. I want God moving. I want God working. I want God to save our kids. I want God to save our teens. I want God to save our children. Right now over in the children's church, we got a brand new children's church that started today. I was supposed to make that announcement early in the service, so let's do a little rewind. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a child and he's under the age of the fifth grade, will you take them over there to the children's church today? It'll be going on every Sunday morning, both 8:45 and 11 o'clock. God bless you, and thank you for being in the service today. Let's fast forward today, honey. I want our kids saved. I want our teens saved. I want our people saved. I want our deacons full of God, our Sunday school teachers full of God, the preacher full of God, the pulpit full of God, the piano full of God, the organ full of God, the guitars full of God, the bass guitar full of God. I want the seats full of God. I want the carpet full of God. I want the ferns be full of God. I want the fires be full of God. Fake, dead, alive, purple, green, blue, orange. I'm telling you, there is a God in heaven, honey, and he's pumping in my soul, and he's looking this morning for somebody that'll say, God, here I am, use me. You ain't got to be big, and you ain't got to be small. You don't have to be white. You don't have to be black. You don't have to be able. You just have to be available. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a God, and he's got all that he has. You say, I don't have anything. You better be glad you go to a God that doesn't have not just anything, but he's got everything. You ain't got to bring anything but your little puny life and say, God, I'm an empty vessel. Fill me up with the power of God. Fill me up with the strength of God. Fill me up with the goodness of God. Fill me up with the power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I'm looking at it young people. I'm looking at it teenagers. I'm looking at it old people. I'm looking at church members. And you and I both know God's revealed to you. You need to be saved by the grace of God. You need to be birthed into the family of God. You've been going on mama's religion and daddy's religion and the preacher's religion and the Baptist religion, but you have no real salvation experience. You can be born again by the grace of God. You say, can I be saved today? Here's a simple question. Is God calling you? If he's calling you, honey, all you got to do is call him back and God will save you. It's called the heavenly Marco Polo game. He cried out Marco first. All you got to do is crow Polo now and God will save your ever dying soul. I'm telling you today, God will change you. God will save you. God will transform you. God will upend you. God will change your family. God will change your home. God will change your life. Young man, I'm telling you today, God will make a preacher out of you. God will shake hell out of you, put heaven in you, and put God 30 foot thick in your soul. You know how I know? Because the God that moved right here is the God that can move right here, and the God that was there, he's the God that is today. Honey, it's all because of the ashes of remembrance. Now, I'm not going to try to preach my message. I'm just going to go with God. You say, preacher, what do those ashes teach you? Number one, it teaches me this. God's faithful. God is faithful. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Here's how I know that. There's never been one child of God that's ever been abandoned by God. You've never been to an emergency room when God abandoned you. You have never been in a sick ward when God abandoned you. You have never been crying yourself to sleep at night because God abandoned you. You have never been in a divorce court because God abandoned you. You have never been in a cancer ward because God abandoned you. You have never been in a broken church because God abandoned you, honey. I've been to so many funerals, I don't even know how to see straight. Me and Brother Scott have preached and sung at more funerals since I've been here than I even know. And you know what I have found at every single funeral? When there is a casket down here at the front of this church or some funeral home, on this side is a family, and on that side is the family. I've got mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and husbands and wives on both sides. size. But you know what I have found at every single funeral? That there is an ever-loving, ever-serving, ever-present help in the time of trouble. And those people stand there, but what they don't know is there's a great big God with great big arms that has wrapped himself around them. And when they don't think they can stand, there's a God that holds them up. And when they don't think they can survive, there's a God that keeps them standing. And when they think they can't cry any more tears, there's a God there catching their tears in a bottle. You say, how do you know? Here's how I know. Because God is faithful. You may have lost a child. You may have lost a loved one. It may be a mother, a father, a best friend. I'm telling you today, you've never met a best friend until you've met Jesus. You've never met a friend until you met that friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm telling you today, God is faithful. You say, preacher, I'm so mad at God, I can't see straight. Can I tell you something this morning? God's a big boy, and if you'll just get straight with God and say, God, I'm mad at you because of this, God will get downright honest with you, and then you can start doing business. You say, I don't want God to be mad at me. Can I ask you a question? If you've ever sinned a sin, you're the one that nailed his son to the cross. If he was willing to forgive you over that, don't you think he'd forgive you over anything else that you do? I'm telling you today, you can't sin so high that God will abandon you. You can't get so dirty that God won't clean you up. You know how I know that? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God does not abandon his people. God does not throw in the towel on his people. God is faithful. How do I know that? Here's why I know that. Because I've seen how faithful he's been in the past. And the God that is faithful in the past, he'll be faithful today. Now I'm done. I done preached myself in a fury. I got to wear this suit tonight, and I've already sweat through 3 layers of it. Brother Scott, will you play "Tis So Sweet, My Brother"? Write this last one down. Write it down. Write it down. Write it down. It's what I know. I know God's faithful, oh my. But I know God is able. I know God is able. Can I tell you today, there is nothing God cannot do. Right now, some of the finance committee, some of these people, or whoever it is in there, counting up the building fund. We'll know tonight. But I don't worry. It's already done. It's as if God's already signed off the note. It's already done. You know how I know that? God's able. You say, what if he don't pay it off this morning? He'll pay it off tonight. You say, what if he doesn't pay it off tonight? Bob will pay it off. I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried. I am not worried. Why aren't you worried, preacher? When you've got a God that big, what are you going to worry about? If your God's so big he can make the sun, why are you afraid of anything under the sun? You got to get your eyes off the world and get your eyes back on Jesus. I can't preach to you the deep doctrines of the faith because you're so steeped out in this world, I can't do anything with you. You get your eyes off of the flesh and shut that thing off and get along with God and say, God, I don't know how to pray. God, I don't know how to pray. Have you ever gotten that dead on and straight with God? God, I have no idea how to pray. I don't have any idea how to understand my Bible. All I know is I read it and it feels like blank words on a blank page. You think that hurts God's feelings? You nailed his son to the cross and he forgave you. You think you're going to hurt his feelings because you say, God, I'm too dumb to understand how to pray to read your book? That doesn't bother God. God is not insulted by your honesty. He's insulted by your pride. He's insulted by you saying, I got it all together. I'm good. I don't need you. God says, fine, big boy. Fine, big girl. Do what you want to do. You ever wonder why it is that some of the preachers and some of the people that God uses, you get to know them, and this is what you say, dear God in heaven, how could God use that? Simple. They figured out how useless they are, and you haven't yet. When I was 19 years old, God called me to preach at 18. When I was 19 years old, I didn't have any intelligence. I still don't have a lot of that. But I just believed God was going to use me to do something. I know what it was. One day I went up to the parking deck in downtown Greensboro. It's about 7 stories up, if I'm right, 6 or 7 stories. And I went up, drove up to the top of that parking deck, and I got up there and I got out of my car and I went over to the side where the stadium is and I looked, and you can just look out on that clear day and you can just see as far as your eyes will let you see. And I walked to the other side and I saw as far over toward A&T side, I saw as far as I could see down East Market. Then I went to the other side and I saw as far as I could down Elm Street. Then I went to the other side and I saw as far as I could see down toward 421 way. And I said, God, will you give me that? I said, I want that city. I said, I want that city for Jesus. I said, give me that city for Christ. When I'm dead, God, I want the city to rejoice because now sin is allowed back in the city. And I want the saints to cry. You know why? I didn't do it because I had a lot of power or ability. I just knew God was big, but somehow your mind gets twisted. Well, when I got married, when I asked Erica to marry me, we hadn't dated but about a month. And I liked it, so I put a ring on it. Say amen right there. And I took her up that day, Bob, to the top of the parking deck. Because whoever was with me is going to take his city with me. I think my sister went with us and took pictures. We have pictures of this somewhere. And I said, Erica, do you see that way? And you see that way? And you see that way? And you see that way? She said, yeah, baby, I see. I said, God's going to give us all that. That took a... We were driving a 1997 Toyota Avalon. The electric seat in it did not work. Three of the windows didn't roll down. And I'm the guy at KFC that opens the door to order at the drive-thru. I have a tremendous fear of the drive-thru. I won't go through a drive-thru now. I don't care if it's raining cats and dogs. I'm getting out and I'm going inside because all that. And I know she looked at me and said, okay. But with each step and each day, we've started realizing God's going to give us that which we have asked. You say, have you changed? No, I really hadn't changed that much. I'm not as ADHD as I used to be. I'm just ADD. The H is kind of going away with time. I'm getting a little more tired, but it's still there. Right, Trent? But there's still a God in heaven that's looking for somebody to say, God, get all over me. I mean, get all over me and use me. Children, we're coming out of the wilderness today. We are coming out of the wilderness. And I'm standing on the bank of the Jordan right now. And I'm saying, God, spread it. Give it to us. We're ready to cross over. But I'm looking at some of you today and you need to be born again. God's not going to allow you to go into the promised land unsaved. And some of you just need to have an old-fashioned faith revival. You need to crucify your flesh. You need to shut your flesh down to the things of this world. I'm not preaching legalism. I'm preaching holiness. I'm telling you, shut your flesh down to this world and start feeding yourself the things of God. And watch God build faith. Listen, I have sat for 12 weeks behind the scenes watching God take a canvas tent and a great friend, a West Virginia nobody, and shake the eastern seaboard. And God is going to use this church to shake this nation. God is getting ready to rewrite in this nation how churches operate. And He's going to start at this place. How do you know that, preacher? Because I've got ashes of remembrance. I've gone back to yesterday's fire, and I have found that the God that is the God that was back there. You know what I found, though, Bob, as I researched this thing out about ashes? Do you know what they would use ashes for? Before that they would use tinder or kindling, they would put the ashes from yesterday's fire in first. Do you know why they would do that? Because they knew
that what had burnt yesterday will still burn today. And until the fire could get hot enough, they would allow the embers from yesterday to feed that fledgling fire. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I'm holding on to the ashes of remembrance that what God did yesterday, God can do today. Brothers and sisters, we're coming out. Let's grab a hold of the stones of memorial and let's build a memorial so that our youngins can see God is still able. Father, I'm pleading with you and I'm begging you now in the name of the Lord Jesus to glorify your name during this time of invitation. And God in heaven, I'm seeking you and I'm pleading with you, oh God, have mercy on us now as we do business with thee. In the name of Christ, I pray. Now, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're going to have one little time of prayer here in just a minute. But before that I do, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do business with God. How many of you would say, Pastor, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm saved. I have no doubt about it. I know I'm saved. May not be right with God, but I know I'm saved. Here's my hand. Pray for me. I'm going to be honest with you. That's good. God bless you. I appreciate those of you that were able to be honest. That's good. Put your hands. God bless you. That's great. This morning, those of you who weren't able to raise your hand, I appreciate your honesty, and so does God. But I'm telling you right now, if you want to cross God's river into God's eternal city, I can promise you right now, you must be born again. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You must be born again. This morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come. There'll be people down here with a Bible, and they're going to show you how to be saved. You say, Preacher, I'm afraid to come. Jesus said, you make the first step, I'll make the second one. If you're ashamed of me before my Father, ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. You come. Billy Kelly used to say this. He'd say, if you take the first step with God, he'll take the rest of them for you. If you walk with God first, he'll take the rest of them with you. Here's what we're going to do. On the count of three, we're all going to stand, and I want Christians to come down first and say, God, give me faith. Give me faith to believe you. Here we go. On the count of three. One, two, three. Let's come today. Let's come. Come on, Christians, you come first. Young man, young woman, come on. Come on, you need to be saved. That's it right now.